In this first reading, we're continuing now to follow Paul as the Lord, through him, establishes his church. Now he's in Antioch, not the Antioch in Syria, but the Antioch in Pisidia, which is still over in where everything else is, Asia Minor. It's over in Turkey. And he's preaching in the synagogue. He's telling them about Jesus. I just stop and think. Here's this stranger coming in, prominent man, so therefore invited to speak in the synagogue. And he stands up and he starts to preach this totally new, unimaginable reality. And people believe him. Just think of the power of God working in and through Paul and his words. And so he's telling them, you see, children of Abraham and all the others, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and their faith, you know, and their leaders failed to recognize him. And they condemned him to death. But in so doing, they condemned the oracle. They fulfilled the oracles of the prophets. And then he goes on to develop that. I want to talk about the second reading. Until he comes to this line. We ourselves are proclaiming this good news to you. You see, I say our challenge is, we've heard the good news a lot. You know, the words, they don't excite us. God became man and died for us and rose again and poured out the Holy Spirit, who's God, who dwells in us, is going to bring us to heaven. Oh yeah, I heard that before. They never did. And look what's happening, you see. And so we proclaim this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. He's proving the resurrection from Psalm 2. Now, what kind of penetration do you have of the reality there to be able to do that? Huh? If you look at Psalm 2, it begins. See, Psalm 1 is all about, blessed is the man who doesn't walk this way, he walks this way. The two ways. You've got your choice. Life and death are in your hands. And Psalm 1 is all about the man who meditates. That means mulls over the Torah, God's way with us and God's will for us. And his delight is there. And so, in the second Psalm, it's all about God and his Messiah. Why are the nations raging? Why are the Gentiles in fury against the Lord and his Messiah? Those are the two basic things, you know, how God wants us to live and what his promises are. That's the Psalms. So, in that psalm, there is this line. I had this oracle from God. You are my son. This day I have begotten you. Now, for the king, this is an enthronement psalm. See, for the king, he becomes God's son in a new, and everybody's God's children in Israel. But an Israel is God's son. But the king becomes son of God in a very special way. This is promised in the oracle of Nathan. I will be a father to him and he will be a son to me. Every successor of David. And so this oracle is saying, you are now entering your royal authority. And that's why it proves that it applies to Jesus. Because at the resurrection, you see, he rose from the dead and entered into his infinite, eternal divine authority as man. So you are my son. From eternity, you're my son. Now I bring your humanity into that reality. This day, I have become your father. This day, I have begotten you and entered you into this royal, unshakable authority. You are the king, not just of Israel, but of the universe. You see why the Lord invites us to take time to ponder? This day I have begotten you. Okay, what else you got? And that's why commentaries don't hurt. Well, they can hurt, but most of them are worthwhile. And this line from Psalm 2 is quoted over and over again in the New Testament. An allusion to this. And to the other Psalm, 110, sit at my right hand, the Lord said to my Lord, you know, sit here at my right hand. Having been raised to the right hand of the Father, he received the promised Holy Spirit and he poured him out, and that's what you see and hear, which is Peter's speech at Pentecost, right? Now that he is enthroned in his glorious humanity, humanity is open to receive the Holy Spirit, because in one humanity there has been divinization. And this, a living, eternal Son of God in his humanity, can pour out God, the Holy Spirit, on his church. Now, the gospel. See, these are all trying to get us ready to have a heart that's open and receptive to what God himself is going to do on the Feast of Pentecost. See, liturgy is not just a game. And it's not a theater piece. It is that the heart of the life of the church, right? And the heart of the heart is the Eucharist. That's why, as the Vatican Council tells us, the Eucharist celebration is the source and summit of the Christian life. The source and the summit. So we're starting chapter 14 in John. And Jesus says, don't be troubled. You believe God in God, then believe in me. Because I'm God. I'm divine. I'm going to, in my Father's house. What's my Father's house? Isn't that the temple? Do not make my Father's house a marketplace. In chapter 2, right? Seeing this symbolic expression of where the human race is meant to go in this temple, he cleanses it. And then he says, do not make my Father's house a den of thieves. And when he's challenged, what does he say? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. I am my Father's house. And you dwell in me. If that were not the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? I'm going to pass through the cross and be glorified in my humanity and be able to be the source of life and dwelling for the whole world. That's what my church is. The living, physical presence of Christ on earth. You see how we've made the church another institution. Don't like this, don't like that, what's wrong with this? There's plenty, God knows there's plenty wrong. But it is the body of Christ. It is the physical presence, it is the temple, it is the dwelling place, the house of the Father. Doesn't Paul tell us this? You all are the temple of God. He tells us in Corinthians. You see. So I'm going to go through my cross and resurrection, I am going, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where? In my heart. Forever. Master, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas, I'm the way. If you are with me, you are on the way to the Father. Why? Because I am the truth, which means I am the revelation of the Father, who is the true one. Remember, we just talked about that yesterday. I am the truth. I am the revelation of the Father, and I am life for all eternity. I don't live. Christ lives in me. You see, this is such great reality that it takes all these symbols and all these words to try to give us an idea of who we are and where we're going and what we owe to the world to tell them. Just don't tell them they're all in sin and they're all terrible and they're all going to hell. Tell them who the Father is. If there was one among us who could have condemned us all of sin out of total purity, it would be Jesus Christ. And even when this woman is condemned of adultery, he says to her, has no one condemned you? No, then neither do I.